BBC News with Mike Cooper. Prosecutors in Norway say they'll ask that the public and the media be shut out of the hearing later today of the man accused of killing more than 90 people in attacks on Friday. Officials say the issue will be discussed at the start of the hearing and the judge will give his decision. The lawyer for the suspect, Anders Behring Breivik, says his client wants to explain himself in public. Norway is to hold a minute's silence shortly to remember those killed on Friday. Many of the dead were teenagers attending a youth camp of the governing Labour Party. Correspondents have spoken of the profound shock the massacre has provoked in Norway.
You're listening to World Update from the BBC in London. I'm Rebecca Kesby, and we can go live to Norway now, where the shock of the double attack on Friday is still sinking in for many there. The grim business of identifying all the dead is underway. Police are still searching for the missing around Utøya Island, and many more are recovering in hospital from serious injuries sustained in the bomb blast in central Oslo and at the hands of Anders Breivik as he methodically gunned down teenagers on an island campsite nearby. He admits to the killings, 93 are confirmed dead so far, but through his lawyer he's claimed that they were gruesome but necessary, and he says he wants to explain his motives at a court hearing in the next couple of hours. We'll have more on that in just a moment, but first to our correspondent Steve Evans. Difficult weekend in Norway, Steve, I know. What have people been telling you there this morning?
Very difficult week indeed. I'm just outside the court now, and the press is amassing. There's a tram going through. A few curious people taking pictures, but not many. In some countries, you see mobs of the public gathering outside the court. That's not happening here. And I think that's basically because people, in a way, don't quite know whether they want to take interest in this guy or not. Oslo continues its working week, albeit with the heart of it shut down still because of the bomb blast. Now, I have been talking to people here on the street outside the court, and here's what they said.
It will be a very hard Monday. You can just tell by the whole city. The Norwegian people has really stood together already, and I think we will just feel even closer. We're not even 5 million people, but you can tell that everyone is hurting.
When I heard that they had killed so many on Utøya, I really get terrified, because how could you do something so terrible to people, you know?
There's a lot of anger, and we're thinking a lot about how we're hoping it's behind closed doors. We want it to be behind closed doors because we don't want him to get his chance to say his peace of mind. He doesn't deserve it, you know, after what happened, honestly.
Some reaction there from Oslo. And Steve, interesting to hear people don't want to hear from this man who admits to the killings. What can we expect at the court appearance today?
Well, there will be a debate over whether he should be allowed to have his say, if I can put it like that. You're absolutely right. There are an awful lot of people who say, I mean, people in the press say, look, I'm not even going to mention his name because that somehow might give him satisfaction. And I think there is a strong feeling that to let him make some kind of speech from the dignity of a court would be excessive. I mean, that's certainly a view. Now, the judge will have to make his judgment on the basis of the law, and we simply don't know which way that will go. But you can imagine that people don't want to hear a screed of his beliefs being said to television cameras, which will be in court, as people come to terms with what he did, what was it, 48 hours ago?
OK, Steve, thank you very much for that. Steve Evans there, live from the court in Oslo. We're expecting him to make an appearance later today. Well, Anse Seiderstad is one of Norway's most famous writers. You might know her novel, The Bookseller of Kabul. And she also joins us on the line now from Oslo. Thanks so much for joining us. Yesterday, we saw Norway's king and queen in tears in the cathedral in Oslo. The prime minister has also spoken of his grief and shock. He actually knew many of the victims, I think. Is it possible to reflect on how wounded Norway feels by these attacks?
Well, I think Norway is really wounded in their heart. This is a country where safety and security has always been, you know, something we've taken for granted. Terror acts have always been passing on elsewhere, not here. So, therefore, Norway has always been also a very open society, a little security, low fences, no gates, and a soft target, but we never expected this to come from within.
Most of the victims, as we've been saying, were teenagers or at least young people at a youth camp. Makes many people all the more shocked, thinking that this is all the more cold-blooded, this attack. But it was a political camp, and there is an expectation that Mr. Breivik is going to say that that made it a target for him. Interesting to hear, though, from Oslo, people don't want to hear his views. Is that something that you agree with?
Well, people are, of course, shocked. They are interested in finding out what his manifesto is about. And I think people would like to know, what does this all come from? But I don't think that means they want to give him a stage. And I suppose the court hearings now will be behind closed doors. But when it comes to the cold-bloodedness, we are all shocked. And these youngsters, they are, yes, as he said, I wanted to hamper the recruitment to the Labour Party of Norway, which is one of his main enemies. And these youngsters would probably be either local politicians or maybe a minister, or these are just ordinary youth that are active in trying to shape the future.
This man says he acted alone, but he's not the only person in Norway or elsewhere in Northern Europe to have these kinds of extremist views. He's published a manifesto. He says he's been in touch with other far-right extremist groups. Is it time for Norway and other Northern European countries to confront this issue?
I think definitely it is, because I know his website, document.no, which is, well, it's right-wing, but it was politicians could write there, right-wing politicians. And, of course, they have all his articles now on their website. But, of course, most people, even writing on this website, will be offended. But I think in some of these closed circles on the net, they're fed and fastened by each other. And their opinions become more and more extreme. But then this is this one man who's taking his opinions, his threats, into action, and that I think even people from this group are shocked by.
Okay, Asne Seyasat, thank you very much for joining us from Oslo.